The FBI provides a host of new capabilities for federal and local law enforcement officials to improve how they identify suspects. The next generation identification system replaced a 15-year-old fingerprint system with some advanced biometrics. Jim Presscorn is the program manager for that ID system. He tells executive editor Jason Miller about it and why AFSEA Bethesda recognized it yesterday with an award.
NGI, Next Generation Identification, is basically a replacement system for the old IAFA system, which was delivered in 1999. So it was built on older algorithms for fingerprint matching and, you know, biometrics and that sort. NGI takes a step into the, you know, new future here, and we improved our accuracy. We needed to update our accuracy for our fingerprint algorithms, and for our timbered side of the house, we went from 92% to 99.6% accurate. But as you add the service provider in, we're almost 100% accurate. As far as we added a wrist system, which is for the officer on the street, it's a mobile device where an officer can take one or two fingers and get images back to us, and we'll 6 seconds or so. We'll give them an ident or a non-ident. Actually, it's not even an ident. It's probable cause. It's red light, green light type thing. Then we redid our latent, and we moved 3 times more accurate. We went from about 26% accurate on our latent submissions to about 82 to 86% accurate. Then our increment 4 introduced facial recognition, and it also did a wrap-back service where customers can set a flag on a record, and if a criminal history comes across, we'll notify them that there's activity on this subject. And of course, facial recognition is the new technology out there, and we take images, still images, that are mugshots and photos submitted by the contributor, which is law enforcement, and it's only law enforcement, and then we'll return a candidate list and they'll have a gallery to select from.
So a lot of new capabilities, and the best part of this probably was that you did it on schedule, on budget, and with full capabilities. Talk about that effort, because anytime delivering a system, even in increments, is not easy. And as you well know, the FBI, as with every agency, there's always challenges to implement new and improve systems.
Yeah, it was quite a feat, actually. It was actually a 10-year program, but it was 6 years of contract work. And it was increments were decided that's the best way to deliver functionality each year. We can make sure we have something out there. As for the cost and schedule, it was a team effort. It's a $1.12 billion program. And so we had a whole program office, you know, and that philosophy of earned value, schedule containment, and, you know, quality as well as scope and stuff. So think of it as a three-legged stool, you know, quality, cost, schedule. You saw one leg off, you got to do something to the others. Lockheed Martin was our, you know, prime contractor, and they were fantastic. You know, they were a great partner, and their leadership, it was pretty transparent, badgeless. It was team effort to get this thing done.
Part of delivering this, when you talk about increments and you're agile before you, agile was big, the DevOps concept, the agile development, did you guys go into it knowing that, okay, this is going to be a lot of different iterations, or did it kind of happen that way? I wouldn't say by accident, but just the way technology has evolved.
We weren't really agile, you know, we were still pretty much a waterfall type of development process, but incremental approaches, you know, sort of in between, you know, waterfall and agile, but it proved a bit more contained, more easy to manage at these smaller chunks at a time. So you break the work package down smaller, it's easier to track, you know, the earned value and the cost and schedule on each one of those. You know, we knew, we walked into this knowing this is the approach we wanted to do, and we had lessons learned from previous, you know, we delivered NDEX and the previous IAFIS and stuff like that, and through the project management team, that a lot of these people just keep carrying over, we formed a project management office, so we have the expertise, you have the best of the best that are doing these functions, but yeah, we had planned on increment all along.
You talked about the difference, the better accuracy, the more timeliness. What are some other benefits that you point to that says, now that we have this next generation identification system, is we can do this instead of where IFS only could do that? I know one of the big differences is, I think, 2 to 10.
There are multiple things here we improved on. We improved our flats. Before, you know, people would give us flats, and the IAFA system really choked on flats, and it ate up a lot of horsepower.
When you say flats, you mean flat fingerprints?
Flat fingerprints instead of rolled. You know, a typical officer was going to roll your fingerprints with an ink card, but now it's live scan devices. We're also scalable now. We built this on a SOA architecture, so, you know, as a modality changes, we can unplug it and plug in a new vendor, or expand. If we want to add Iris in the future, we can just plug it into the service bus and allows us to expand and grow in those atmospheres. The original IFAS system was only designed for 62,000 transactions a day. We built this system for over 700, and we've actually hit 693 in April 16th. And that's not a typical day. You know, usually it's about, you know, the busy times is 260,000 or so. But, you know, so it's scalable. It's more flexible. We can change our name algorithm. It's just very flexible, scalable system built on blade technology that we can, you know, change blades, you know, increase our core processing, add memory, whatever we need to do. We can change hardware at will.
When you look back and you look at the last, you know, 6-7 years of doing this, even longer, what were some of the challenges that you overcame, and how is that helping the FBI as you move forward with new programs and as you add more to this project? How are you taking those lessons learned and putting them into action?
A lot of the project management principles apply. The biggest enemy of a project is scope creep. And so you really have to maintain your scope, set your baseline, freeze your baseline. Every little change that comes on has to be evaluated. And so you have to be very strict and diligent on that. As far as, you know, cost and schedule also, you know, schedules will change. So you make sure you have a little bit of padding in your government estimates. The contractor may bid X dollars and you want to have X plus one. It's the nature of the beast. It always happens. There's always some unknown out there. So you got to manage the risk and add dollars to your risk.
Have you gotten reaction from users in the field from the system? Have you heard from either FBI agents or local law enforcement?
Yes. After each increment, we get, you know, accolades and very huge success type things. You know, in the first increment one, in the first week alone, we ran parallel operations to the old and new system. We had 910 additional idents that we would have missed before in the old system. So the law enforcement community sees that. The wrist devices out there, the mobile devices, the officer on the street can't get enough of them. We keep getting more and more PDs wanting these devices. And of course, we can't pay for them, but there are grants and stuff out there they can get money for those. The latent community is one of our huge success. People are just knocking down the door to submit latents. In fact, we've exceeded our capability that we designed for, and we're already going to have to expand our latent repository. Increment 4, the phase stuff is still new. It's still emerging. Wrapback is still emerging. But we've replaced the old legacy system completely now. And so, like I said before, we 693 transactions. It's nothing to sneeze at.
So did you actually turn off the old system? Because that's what everyone talks about. Right. When you put a new system in, does the old one actually get turned off? Who got to do that? Did you get to flip the switch, so to speak?
Yeah, I wish. You know, the old system was still quite a few servers and stuff like that. But yeah, that was one of the goals, is to retire the old system, reduce your O&M costs. And so we had, you know, some big iron sitting down there running on the floor. And so it's eating power and cooling, and as well as dollars for the O&M cycle of it. But yes, we slowly phased out with each increment. We shut down pieces of it. And that's one thing that we do at the FBI, is we have to decommission systems when we no longer use them. And it's just a good use of, you know, the government's tax dollars to do these things.
You talked about the facial recognition as was one recent increment. What's next? Where do you see this going over the next year, 2-3 years?
We're piloting iris technology right now, so we're going to see if that's viable. It's right now, it's in its early stages, and so we're going to have to do some analysis, and we'll evaluate if iris is ready for prime time yet or not. DNA may come down in the future, we don't know. It's just, there's other modalities out there that people are starting to look at. You know, voice is still a possibility out there, and so we just got to keep our minds open. And most of my staff is starting to move on to other projects, you know, and so we get the next biggest and brightest thing then.
The success of it, is it being used by other agencies? Are you sharing with ICE or CBP and Homeland Security? Are you sharing with potentially even DOD?
DHS is our biggest customer, you know, on the federal side of the house. All border crossings, they do submissions to us for border crossings, and we give them a 10-second response back, but usually it's less than 5. It's to give probable cause of anybody coming across the border. We do port of entry checks for them for CBP. DOD, we're partners with DOD, and they run all their submissions through us, as well as their own system. It's kind of a spawn partnership that way. And we do all the other agencies that are willing to participate, but OPM submits their stuff. So yes, we do a lot of work with the other agencies.
FC of Bethesda recognizes your efforts, obviously the category again, excellence in mission. Talk about just that, what that means for you guys from the FBI perspective, from the IDENT program, to really be recognized from this group for the efforts you guys have done over the last, you know, 5, 6, 7 years.
I'm truly honored myself, and I think it's a huge recognition for a lot of the hard work and effort that this whole team put together. You know, not just, you know, myself, but my fellow employees, my partners, my peers, Lockheed Martin, all the subcontractors, you know, a lot of hard work has gone into this, and it's really nice to be recognized from an agency like this.